We're slowly going through the book of James. The reason I say slowly, we've done three lessons on it, or Santiago, as they say in Spanish. We're slowly going through it, but then I took 2 or 3 weeks off and taught on topics that I felt the Lord wanted me to talk on. And it's sort of neat. You just got to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, you have a plan, but then as John 3:8 says, the wind blows. You're not sure where it's coming, where it's going. That's how it is with the Holy Spirit. And over here, during worship, the Lord said, speak on the Nazarite vow for the teenagers. And we did that 2 weeks ago. And it's interesting, got a report, not to give details, but got a report from somebody that said that it wasn't a teenager, but that the Lord greatly used that service because they had been wanting to do the Nazarite vow and wasn't sure of all the details. And so it was just neat to see how the Lord, through His voice and His timing, meets people's needs. And it's just cool. So always listen to the Holy Spirit. This morning during prayer, I had a specific thing. I felt the Lord kept telling me 2 or 3 times to pray over something specific. The details don't matter. It's the example here. And I just wasn't sure how to pray for it. And what direction to go. He told me twice, and then he didn't say anything. And then Jan, who's 2 chairs down, starts praying for it. And I'm like, okay, if I don't obey, he's going to pass it on to somebody else. And so it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit. And don't, because she gets the blessings for obeying God. I was just slow, man. So slow, he's like, you're too slow for me. I give up on you. I'm going somewhere else. That doesn't mean I lost my salvation. Doesn't mean I lost, was in sin. But it meant I lost the obedience reward that's there. But anyway, we took several weeks off going back to the book of James. And slowly just working our way through that. I've never taught a book in over 20 years of being here, verse by verse. And we'll just see where it goes. It's really unique, the timing, because you see this when we get into this. James is talking about purity and holiness. And that's the same thing that Mom taught on last week. Doreen taught on last week was purity and holiness, especially in the area of sin, sexuality. So basically, I'm tag teaming on her. And I don't know if I'd call it part B but it is on the same subject, so I don't know if it's good enough to be a part B. But turn into your Bibles to James 1, 21 through 25. I've got these verses up. I don't typically put a lot of verses up, just sort of the main ones. So it's important for you to bring your Bible or go to the app on your iPhone or your Android device and follow along. It used to be, say, open your Bible. Now it's open your app. Whatever works. But here we go. Therefore, get rid... He just jumps right in here. This is not the bad thing. This is just the dynamics of going verse by verse. You know, you can't just sort of gently go in, you know, put a little WD-40 on it and warm us up. It just sort of, wherever you left off, you just sort of jump in there. Therefore, and I'll come back to these actions, get rid of all moral filth. Wow, what a way to start off a sermon. Get rid of all moral filth. And the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Now, I highlighted this because this passage right here is what made it controversial, which can save you. Martin Luther, who was the great Protestant Reformation, 1517, he put the 95 theses on the Wittenberg Chapel. Then ended up calling the Protestant Reformation. He's a great man of God, great reformer. He didn't want to put the book of James in the Bible because as you go through the book of James, there's so much it's saying like this, which can save you. And his message was, you are saved by grace alone. You are saved by faith alone. And this book really, really, he had a hard time with it. Now, I'm not going to review, but in the first lesson on James, we see from verse 1, you can go back up and read it, that this was written to all the tribes that are dispersed. So this was written to the Jews who are dispersed because of persecution. So we know he's writing to Christians. And that's a big deal. He's not writing to unbelievers. And as we know, we're made up of three parts. Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. So he's talking to people that are already saved. And what he's talking about here If you look at the Greek for the word, it's talking about the soul part, not the spirit part. It's talking about, okay, you're saved, but you still don't look like God. These are things, he's got three actions here, that if you do these things, will start saving your soul. Your soul has got at least five parts, and there's all kinds of opinions on it, but I just stick with the five parts because it's sort of where I'm at. You got your mind, you got your will, you got your emotions, you got your fantasies, your things for the future, and then you've got your memories of who and what you are. We're made up so much of our memories. And so there's at least those five things. And so, but when you get saved, those don't get your, a new spirit comes inside of you, the Holy Spirit, but those things are not redeemed yet. Y'all understand that, right? Yeah. When you get saved, doesn't mean you automatically start acting right. And so this is talking about three actions. Let's keep reading it. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. There's three things in here that if we start doing, will start changing your mind, will, emotions, memories, and the future, and make you look like God. I love, see if I could find this. Yeah, this is a great, great thing to understand as we go through the book of James, because it's been a very controversial book. We can perform no works to become saved. Amen. But once we are saved, it takes work to become like God.
Yes.
Let me give you another one. Our works don't make us saved. They don't even draw us closer to God. But they are evidence of the fact that we are saved. Matthew 7:16 says, you will know them by their fruits.
Yes.
Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. You know, he sees that he's got something between his teeth. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets that he's got something between his teeth of what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect laws, talking about the Bible and Jesus that gives us freedom, continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So if you diagram this sentence out, how many of you diagrammed in the sixth grade? Or seventh grade, or whenever it is, you're going to see there's three actions here which can save you, which can change you to start looking like God. And you're not just a Christian that's saved. The first one is get rid of all moral filth. That's what the NIV says. That's a rough one. Two, humbly accept the word planted in you, humility. And then three, do what the word of God says. So we're going to slowly work through all three of these. We're not going to get to them all today. We probably won't get past the moral filth one. But I'll make sure that this is not like a condemnation type deal. But we'll try to bring it into our culture of where we're at. It says in Romans 1:21-25. I don't have that verse. You can go look it up. How do you like this kid? Saving your soul. Put aside sin. How many of you have been tempted by the cookie? Tonight, some of you after the cookies may have to ask forgiveness for gluttony or something else. But I'll leave that between you and God. I'll eat my fair share and maybe repent afterwards. But anyway, I love this picture. See, at this phase, it's not moral filth. It may be filth, but you don't. It's just a part of it. I love this, the picture of this kid. Okay. And so it says in Romans 1:21. There's four major things I'm going to talk about this today. One is sin leads to death. Romans 1. The reason I'm bouncing around is there's so much going through my head. Romans 1:21. I'm sorry, 21. This passage of Romans 1 describes our society today. So I'm not doing this as a condemnation thing. I'm doing this to help us be aware of the times we live in. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they have become fools.
Amen.
And exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. I don't want to dwell on this a whole lot, but let me read to you Galatians 6, 7 and 8. You can go back and read it later. For whatever a man sows, this he also reaps. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. One was the tree of life, which meant doing whatever, when you ate of that, it's doing whatever God asked you to do. And then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So one tree, it looked good and it could also be evil. What did that mean? And when they ate of that tree, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Lord, help me get my thoughts together. Just because something is legal does not mean it produces life. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Just because it's legal does not mean it's good for you.
That's right. Amen.
And there's our society in America is basically you can do almost anything. You can't kill somebody. You can't beat up anybody. But you can do almost anything. And what I hear with Christians is if it's legal, it must be all right. In the Bible, it's very clear. You follow my way, which is life, which is found in the Bible, which that's the third action, seeing what's in the Word and doing it. It will always produce blessings in life. And even though it may not even be evil, but if it's good and against the Word of God, it still will not produce life. Now this is the key, is God does not prevent you from eating of whatever tree you want.
Amen.
Just to keep it generic, say we legalize some perverse behavior in America. We call out your favorite perverse behavior. Okay?
Dang it.
I mean, you know, mine might not be yours. I'm not saying I do it. I'm just saying, you know, what's ever in your mind. Say we legalize it. That doesn't mean it's automatically going to turn out well.
No.
God gives us freedom because He respects enough who we are and that we are created in His image and we have the power of choice. But as Christians, many Christians are leading a faster death than they should. Many Christians even die early. Was that God's will? No. Was it God's will that they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden? No. Did He keep them from getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden? No. In His sovereignty, He has limited His sovereignty to allow us to have some sovereignty. Because He thinks that highly of us. And so as we go forward in a society that basically allows almost anything, when you see people's lives reaping death, that's where we can step in and say, it may seem old-fashioned. It may seem not the thing of today. It may seem fuddy-duddy. But if you go this way, which is opposite of the perverse behavior, you'll start seeing life because you're eating from a whole different tree.
Hallelujah.
You understand what I'm saying? And the culture is trying to intimidate Christians to shut off their voice. Because built into every person is a consciousness. You go back, as we said in Romans 1, there's a consciousness in there that you cannot get away from. And so when we say, don't be a part of this perverse behavior, whatever it is, robbing banks, whatever, don't be a part of that perverse behavior, it agrees with that still small consciousness that's inside of them, and they want to shut you up. Because men want to have freedom without consequences. And you can never have freedom without consequences if you choose the wrong thing, because you will always reap what you sow. And the good part is you sow a holy life, a pure life, and hopefully we'll get to it, you'll reap the results of eating from the right tree. See, so much of Christianity has been what we're against. I'm telling you what's for. And we'll talk about that in a minute. As you live a pure, holy life, you can live your life and go out at the end with no regrets.
Amen.
You can go out without having tore up every relationship in your life. You can go out without going, oh my gosh, if I'd just done this. That doesn't mean it'll be perfect, but your course can be set. And so we see that sin leads to death. And we are a product of choices. So many times I hear people go, man, my life is just a mess. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Well, were you involved in the perverse behavior? Did you rob the bank? And you're now moaning because you're in the jail? God did not do this to you.
Amen.
Now the problem is so many, I'm not even talking unbelievers, so many Christians, we have so many Christians, but they really don't know the Bible.
Amen.
And that's the third action, and we'll talk about it whenever we get to it. But we do have to learn to look in the mirror, see what's there, and then compare it to the poster that he's trying to get us to. And as we start pulling that together, I'm telling you, you'll be glad. You'll be happy.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes maybe they take the cookie out of my hand, or I have to give up the cookie.
Yeah.
But I won't be fat and have diabetes and everything else. You follow what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Let's move on. Now, this is where we're at as a country. And we've already talked about it. Sin is defined by the word, not our peers. This, every one of us has to face this all week long. And there's a lot of behavior that 20 years ago was defined as you shouldn't be doing it. In churches all across, I mean, you expect unbelievers, because they live by whatever standard they live by, which is usually just what feels good for the moment, for tomorrow we die. Churches are redefining sin and saying this perverse behavior is now okay. Coming up with weird reasons. Let me tell you, it's just not going to end well. And they're basing their opinion on popularity and wanting to be liked. I'm telling you, there are hundreds of thousands of Christians killed every year because they refused to change their standard from the Word of God to whatever government was in power. Even today, there will be Christians that are martyred. Are they wrong because they're in the minority? Are they wrong because their opinion doesn't match up with whatever government's in power? You can't witness, you can't do this, you can't do that. No. They're standing on a belief system that has survived every empire that has ever lived. They're standing on a belief system, one day, I think it'll be much after I die, that if the Lord tarries, there will not be a United States of America. It may be 200 years in the future, maybe 300. Why? Every history tells you every empire goes away. Every country goes away. That's just the life. I mean, you go back 500 years ago, I mean, there was a Germany, but it wasn't nothing like the Germany now. It's a little small thing. Austria was the big power. That's just the way things happen. And so, but through all of that, the Word of God stands forever.
Yes.
And it will always be around.
Yes.
And it is the standard, whether we're the majority or the minority, you are on the side of history.
Hallelujah.
Now, these other 2 points I didn't put on the slide. Why? Because I wrote them down this morning and I didn't have time to put them in a PowerPoint. That's the bad thing about a PowerPoint. So the challenge, you can just enjoy the little, you can lust after that cookie up there. Actually, I'm not lusting after that cookie. That looks pretty worn out, man. That thing's been beat up a little bit. That dude's taking some bites out of it. I love little kids, don't you guys? So the challenge for us today, to save our souls. See, God is transforming you, not just... This is where Christianity has just really gotten messed up, especially in the South. The end goal in the South is to become a convert. I mean, we're trying to get everybody saved. And that is a good thing. But you know, the Bible, and they always use the Great Commission in Matthew 28. But you know, it didn't say get everybody saved. It said make everybody a disciple. Our job's not done until they're a disciple, which means a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ in this case. You can be a disciple of anybody. But in this case, we're obviously talking about Jesus Christ. And so the goal is to make you a disciple. The government of the church, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, or pastor, teacher. Their job is not to entertain. Their job is not to make you feel warm and fuzzy. Hopefully you do get both, maybe. Their job, you look in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, is to mature you. That's a major difference. And so that's the church, it's moving this direction. This is my prediction. Unless a major revival comes, you're going to see less and less people going to church, less and less people being Christians, because they don't want to, as Wild Gary said here, crucify the flesh to be a disciple. But that's where the coolness is. That's where you get to hear God's voice. That's where He shares the business with you, shares assignments with you. Sure, it takes discipline, but we need skills. You know, they asked Jesus when He was 12 years old, where did you go? We've been down the road for 2 days. Hadn't you often wondered why it took 2 days for His parents to notice that He was gone? Or 3 days, whatever it was. And He said, well, I was about my Father's business. Yes. That's the cool thing about being a disciple. He starts training you about His business. Mm-hmm. And He says, there's a skill level involved to do my business. But that's where it's fun. And so the challenge is to not compromise.
Yes.
And I'm afraid this may be more and more in this society. I don't, because of time, I'm not going to get into it. But you think of Daniel. You go, well, it's so hard. Yeah, it is hard. I mean, you got the media, you got everybody going, this behavior is right, you're wrong, you're old-fashioned. Let me tell you, for 6,000 years, they've said the Bible is old-fashioned. It's only old-fashioned. What they really mean is, I don't want to do what that thing's saying it's to do, and I'm trying to make you look stupid and idiotic. But let me tell you, in the end, I've counseled many people, and it's really this simple. I mean, walking it out's hard. You follow God's ways, prosperity comes to you of soul. Blessings come to you. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean everything works out. Those that follow perverse behavior, for lack of a better, in the end, I'm telling you, they always regret it. I can give you stories of atheists and people that made fun of Christianity on their deathbed. They look back and go, what have I accomplished? And what have I wasted my life? Most of them do. But here's Daniel. I'm not going to go into it, but Daniel 3. Some of you may have heard this story. There was he was in Babylon. I mean, as bad as we think America is, it's not Babylon. We don't have a king or an emperor saying, worship me. Now, we've had presidents may want to say that. They may act like that, but they don't make a huge golden image and say, worship me or die. And so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do it. And then they were thrown into the fire. Now, sometimes God saves you and sometimes He doesn't. We know in this case He did save them. I can't promise what He'll do. But whatever it is you go through it.
Amen.
And we stand for righteousness. Now, I'm not saying get these signs and pick it outside. That's not what I'm talking about. Walk in a lifestyle that I'm going to be pure and holy before my Lord. Daniel didn't get signs and pick it. He just said, I'm only going to worship one God. I'm only going to lead one way. You know, the whole Westboro Baptist Church putting those signs and calling people's names, this is stupid. That's not God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't do that kind of stuff. Just live a pure, holy life. Don't even judge other people. You just walk your own way. And people will go, they'll see that. And whether they see it or not, there's rewards there for you. And in this case, it's always, however it comes out, Daniel and them went into the fire. I'm telling you, God will protect you when you do not compromise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How whatever happens, in the end, you'll be glad. And so, You know the story. They were thrown into the fire. Nothing happened. And God, in this case, kept them through it. Another thing, when you do not compromise, God will honor you.
Yes, yes.
Now, you may be tried by fire, literally, like this guy was. So he went from everybody going, he's a loser, he's old-fashioned, just bow down and worship the dude. You know, it'll all be over with and you can repent and go on. I said, no, God knows my heart. He went from being the worst in the kingdom that nobody wanted to be, being thrown into the fire, to his right-hand man. Because why? He saw a man that wouldn't give up on his convictions. That said, I'm willing to live a pure, holy life. And once he passed that test, he goes, I've got to have somebody at my right hand because everybody else is a suck-up. I can't believe what anybody else says. Probably shouldn't use that word in church, should I? But whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
All right. Yeah.
Even unbelievers. There's no record he ever got saved, the king of Babylon. But he recognized, this is a man of integrity. And I need somebody around me like that. It says in Daniel 6:28, or Daniel 3:30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 6:28, three chapters later. Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He did not prosper because he put his finger up to the wind and said, this is going to make me popular, or this is the fad. It says, I'm standing on the same word that you have today.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I was talking to visitors back here, and he's talking about ministry of signs and wonders. And God can give us signs and wonders anytime He wants. It's a gift. So what I'm saying is a general principle. But if we keep our vessel, our soul on the inside as pure as possible, when we're prophesying over people, it's a clearer word. It's a word with less of us in it. Because we've learned to discern our voice from other voices. And so as we walk in purity with God, and we walk in holiness with God, there's a tendency that the power of God will flow purer through us. Because He can trust us with it. Like if I prophesy over Gary, and it's just, if I give him a good word, it's just God, okay? But I know in years past, maybe when I wasn't as mature, I give that word and it blesses him. He starts crying. Crying's usually a sign that God's involved. That's why we have tissues around. That's a crazy thought, but it's the truth. I would go around, man, I gave him a word today, and it really blessed his heart. Now, I'm just excited, and I'm telling everybody. But after a while, you realize I really didn't have a whole lot to do with it except to make sure I was in a position and open to giving it.
That's it.
And so as we walk in purity, and it saves our soul, it saves our relationships, it saves our finances over time, because God's Word never returns void. It will also increase power in your life. Think of this one example. What about Joseph? How many of you remember Joseph? The guy that ended up being the right hand of Potiphar. I'm not going to go into the story. Let me find the verse here because I'm running out of time. Joseph is a great, every teenager, especially boy teenagers. Genesis 39 needs to read the story of Joseph. Joseph, we're not quite sure how old he was, probably teens when he first went in. Remember, he was sold into slavery because his brothers were jealous of him. And they should have never been jealous, but he was sort of a jerk at this age. He had God on his life bragging about how you're going to be bowing down to me. Okay, yes, it was true, but there are right ways and wrong ways to do that. How many of you have more than one sibling and that you grew up with more than one sibling? What if one of those siblings got the same thing? I'm going to be like the sun and you're going to be the stars circling around me. I'd want to beat it out of them too, wouldn't you? Because I'm unredeemed. Just because God gives you a word, maybe you need to hold on to it and find the right timing. That's Craig's translation of it, okay? And you know you thought it, but you didn't have, you didn't want to say it. But anyway, God uses it. He's sold into slavery. He ends up, by God's grace, at Potiphar, which was not the dude, but pretty close to the dude, and his wife was there. So just think about that. How many of you as teen boys, I know girls have their thing, but Joseph was a boy, and some hot chick throws himself at you? That's what happened in this thing. I won't ask how many of you would have jumped into that situation, okay? Hopefully none of you. But it would cross your mind and going, I work for her husband. You know, she can do whatever. I can ask forgiveness later. You see where I'm going at? What's the big deal? These are all things that, I mean, I'm 56 years old, so I was a teenager in the 70s, and I had several girls basically do the same thing with me at a Christian high school. So I know it happens to you. Maybe not quite as direct as her, but you can read between the lines. Well, there's a challenge there to not compromise. Well, man, if I do this, man, I may get even a better position. You follow what I'm saying? This is a very down-to-earth real example. And he rebuffed her, which all of us will rebuff in here, because it's going to save our soul. Maybe even keep us from STDs that are uncurable. He said no. Plus, if Potiphar had found out, dude, he would have had no chance. You know what I'm talking about? There would have been a cutting of the head off. It would have just not been a fun thing. We don't often think about that when the temptation's right there. Whatever your weakness is, the devil makes sure that temptation comes across. You will be tested to live a pure, holy life. You know, you've always heard, typically people fall to the three G's. Gold, girls, or glory. Pride, money, or, you know, sexual temptations. I think there's others, but those are pretty big ones. So just in your mind, make a thing. I will never compromise on these things. I will not take money. I will not do whatever your weakness is. We all have different weaknesses. If you don't know what your weakness is, ask God what it is, and especially put up walls around that thing, because you will be tempted in it. Huh?
Kill it.
You will. But I'm telling you, even though you may have to give up the cookie for the moment, and you may even have to pay a price for it, she got ticked. It was a personal affront. What do you mean? I don't know. I'm reading through her mind, but she didn't get her way. You know, whether she was offended or just she was at least offended enough that you didn't obey me. But she got offended, made up a story about him. As Christians, you will have stories made up about you. I've had stories made up about you. When you take a stand, it ticks off those people that aren't taking a stand because, one, they didn't get their way. Two, their consciousness is now pricked. They might have been searing it, thinking it was all right. But all of a sudden, when you stand for righteousness, this consciousness comes back up. And go, I thought I'd hidden that thing. I thought I'd put that thing down. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And now it's in my face. I got to get rid of the voice. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, I said the Lord's making us, as a church, a voice of voices. And when you live righteously, it blesses your soul, but it also is a voice to those around you. You don't even have to say anything. You just live holiness and pure, and it rubs off on people. I remember years ago, I've told this story before, when I was in Augusta. Back then, because of, I wasn't into it, but Charismatics went through a time of being liturgical for a little while, and I was associate pastor. So the guy made me wear for 4 years, I wore a clerical collar. I hated every minute of it. But the Lord said, do it nicely, do it with a good attitude, and when you become pastor, you can wear whatever you want and make others wear what you want them to wear. Although I've never done that. They're going, thank God. Anyway, I was going after church. I've told the story before, but those that hadn't heard it, went to a Shoney's, and there was a guy that was dressed all in black, and he had a big pentagram on. I don't know how much he was into Satanism. You know, some people just wear these things because they think they're cool and they're not really into it, or they could have really been into it. So I don't know. It was just probably mischievousness on my part. I'm not saying it was necessarily God. I'm just being honest with you. And so when we were all waiting in Shoney's at a table, and I said, I'm going to go stand by this guy and start praying in tongues. Not loud. I mean, he couldn't hear me. And so I just slowly worked my way over and moved and stood right next to him. And it was obvious with a collar, you're a Christian of some sort, Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, something, crazy charismatic, which is what I was. And so, yeah, I just stood by the side of him and started speaking in tongues under my breath. He looks at me and moves down one. And I'm like, cool, he thinks he's the power. I'm going to show him. No, this really wasn't about me. I knew better than that. But I just wanted to try to upset his world.
Yes.
So I casually moved over one and started speaking in tongues. We started moving around Shoney's. And then we got a table and we ate. But I just wanted to interrupt him enough. That's how it is. When you live a holy life, you don't even have to say anything. You're not even necessarily witnessing. It first saves your soul. But this is the problem where we're at in America now. It causes consciousness, the God consciousness, to rise in them, and they want to get rid of you. They want to shut you up.
Yeah.
They want you to move you out, and they want to get rid of you. Why? We're not telling them to change their laws. Maybe we are, but we've sort of given up on that. But it brings consciousness, God consciousness, back to them. And they have to deal with it. See, every person was created in the image of God. Every person.
Yes.
That's why we don't kill people. That's why we don't judge people. That's why we love on people. Because no matter where you're at, if the Satanist or whoever it is, they were created in God's image. But through choices that might not have even been theirs. I mean, there are people that are satanically, ritually abused. They didn't even get a good start. But God is still in them.
Wow.
And there's still an image. And they were still created for a purpose. Y'all can stand. And they have a soul, a spirit that needs to be saved, and a soul that needs to be saved. And as we walk rightly and say, I refuse to compromise, yes, there's a battle. Why? Because they don't want you to stand for that, because then they have to deal with the consciousness in them. But it's their salvation too. Spirit and soul. And so how we're going to close out today, there may be some unbelievers here, I doubt it. So we're not going to do an altar call like that. But if you have been struggling with a sin that you just can't get victory over, it's something that's recurring. It's like a loop in your life. It's something that no matter what you do, it just seems to come back and plague you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if that's you, when we pray, you just say, we're just going to pray that this cycle stops. This loop stops, that we can move on past it and go forward. Because the Lord wants to save our souls.
Yes.
As much as,
yes,
as He has already saved our spirits.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray first over every person here. We'll make a renewed effort. Not a works thing to salvation, but a renewed effort. To walk in such a way that the image of God is revealed in us. That we match up with what You had a vision of us of on the cross. As You hung on that cross 2,000 years ago, sin brought You to that cross.
Yes.
In the Garden of Eden, they had no idea just eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil would start a slow death that evidenced in a physical death. And so, Father, we repent of all the areas we've lived away from You and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good. It looked good. Lord, today we pray for our salvation of our souls, so to speak. Help us to renew, to live a life that didn't put You on that cross. If Adam and Eve hadn't done what they had done and others after them hadn't done the same thing, You would have never gone to the cross. And as You hung on that cross, Every sin had to be dealt with. You took it. And so today, Father, help us to walk in that authority. Help us to walk in that life and all the consequences that come from it. And Father, any of the people that are dealing with sins that just keep tormenting us, it could be many things, addictions or depression or anger or lust. Father, in Jesus' name, and there's a pattern there and somewhere it's just gotten into our life and it's a hook. Father, I just right now, we just bind up any demonic spirits, Father, that may be plaguing each and every one of us, that may be plaguing each person here. And if that's you, just agree with me in prayer. We bind it up and we tell them to go.
Yes, Father.
And Father, I pray that as we walk in your word and walk in your self-discipline, that this cycle is broken. And we command any demonic influence or any alien influence to be gone in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father.
And I thank you, Father, that you are raising up in this congregation a pure bride. I know we're not perfect, but that each week, each month, each year, we're walking in a greater level of looking like God.
Yes, Father.
To your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want any further prayer, we'll